All right, Jeffrey Weiss, my guest today, and we're done dividing the country in half. But let's divide the Democratic Party in half now. Let's keep our knife sharp here. Democratic socialism, arguably by some, is on the rise because of the primaries that were won by several progressive candidates in New York and Colorado and other places. Doing well. And it's of particular interest to me and Jeffrey how the mainstream media, or really, come on, it's the corporate media, how the corporate media tends to cover this. And you've written some interesting stuff about this lately, Jeff. Looking at the New York Times and NPR, what are you seeing that's raising red flags?
Yeah, I mean, the challenge for the Democratic Party, if they can figure it out, is, well, if you had proportional representation, you wouldn't have to worry about it. You'd bust the party into multiple, but
Yeah,
that's the last
let's do that
segment.
instead of divorcing.
Yeah, that's the last thing. Well, we have to have the divorce to get that, but so let's
Maybe.
we're done
Anyway,
with that.
we're done with that.
The polling shows there's any number of polls that people could look at that show that it does appear that the majority of voters in the Democratic Party lean Democratic Socialist. Now, what that means, I try to explain it as capitalism for profit, for broccoli, for haircuts, for things people want, and more socialism or more government for healthcare, for education, for housing, for things that people need. You
So
know,
wait, haircuts are not essential?
well,
Broccoli is not essential?
depending on how you want your haircut, I suppose, or what, you know, kind of, if you want organic broccoli, things like that. That's better for capitalism. It's better for, you know, a seller wants to sell as little as possible for as much as possible. Buyer wants to buy as much as
Sure.
possible for as little as possible. You know, the price signal, or what is called a so-called a free market, even though there's no such thing as a free market. But having said that, all countries have mixed economies. I mean, all countries have a private sector, all countries have a public sector, and the United States is no different. When you're living in a media environment that's owned by Disney and Comcast and large corporations, the Mondamis of the world are going to frighten them because they are more socialistic for needs. And therefore, the healthcare industry and others, as you know, all these different industrial complex of digital complex of industries that reap massive profits are definitely worried about this trend in the Democratic Party and Democratic voters. Now, it's simply what the voters want, according to the polls. So unless the National Democratic Party wants to alienate its own voters, which it might, and continue to lose elections.
Well, it's been really successful at alienating a big chunk of the American electorate and losing elections, but that's changing this year, and I talked about that during the first segment, how the elections have been going well for Democrats, and Republicans are really concerned about what's going to happen this fall, so they're pulling out all the stops to make sure the election doesn't work the way they're supposed to, but that's another conversation, one we've already had, we'll probably have again. But what is it specifically in, what do you see in, I take the New York Times, that's kind of the primary mouthpiece of Wall Street. What do you see in the New York Times in terms of this conversation that raises red flags?
Well, I mean, for the New York Times, or for a lot of what is called, you know, establishment media, their really focus on reporting is very much on, you know, the conflict within the party. I mean, they love the stories where they can quote establishment members of the party, the Chuck Schumers of the world, and you know, the division. You know, media loves conflict. They
Well,
love division.
they also love using the word moderate to describe what I would call a corporate Democrat,
Absolutely. Which is
or
actually more conservative in
they
many
call
respects.
or they call a Republican or Democrat who is tends to be very friendly to Wall Street as a centrist. I love what Paul Wellstone had to say about that years and years ago. That yeah, I'm a centrist. I'm fighting for the issues that are central to the lives of my constituents. He redefined it. And that's
Absolutely.
never caught, of course, that's never caught on with the mainstream media.
No.
And so,
No.
they posture that there are these moderates, these centrists running against the far left,
Yeah.
who, and they, of course, the Democratic Socialists are far left. Even though, as you pointed out, and I think as others have pointed out too, a lot of what we have in this country is already basically socialism. And I'm, to be clear, and I know you and I disagree about this, but I believe in the free market, not unbridled crony capitalism, which is what we unfortunately have. I'd like to see it, you know, I'd like to see the reestablishment of a true free market where there are there's a regulatory framework that allows people to invest their time, their energy, their passion, and some capital in an initiative that makes them a good living while they provide an important service or product.
Well, what I always say about is that, you know, if economics is the production, distribution, and consumption of goods and services, and politics is who gets what, then government is the L word, it's law. And so all selling and buying exist under the L word, which is law. So really there's no such thing as a free market. All markets are politically manufactured because all of them reside under the law. So my main argument is just that there's really no such thing as a 100% free market, but I understand what you're saying. A 100%. Freer market, freer market is what you would prefer, but I can't go outside of your door and sell opioids, you know, 40 cents a pill.
No, get on the block because to do that.
Because if there was a free market, I could do that. Or I could grow marijuana in my backyard and get a table and put it in Target and sell it.
I think you should.
But then I'd be arrested because
broccoli
nobody's
instead.
For the free market.
Yeah.
So, you know. so,
broccoli.
I mean, you understand my
point. Yeah, I do.
But a freer market, I don't have a problem with. The farmer's market model, you grow your food here and you haul it down, but don't try to sell Oxycontin at your farmer's market. Then you'll get arrested and you'll say you're not in favor of free market, officer, and he won't be in favor of free market.
No, I mean, I like to compare it. I like to compare what I consider an ideal free market economy to America's favorite sport. It used to be baseball. Now it's football. Football only works because there's a regulatory framework. You can't grab somebody by the face mask and throw them to the ground. You know, you can't punch them in the gut. You know, you can do a lot of things that are pretty violent in football, but there are rules and regulations. You know,
absolutely.
If you go 10 yards, you get to try again. If you go 9 yards, you don't. Yeah. You know, the game does not work without a framework.
Sure.
And say the same with the economy, ideally a free market economy, does not work without a framework. Unfortunately, we've lost the framework. Or the framework
Absolutely.
Right now is so skewed in favor of a handful of very, very big, powerful capitalist
entities. Yeah, who gets to write the law of regulations? Is it capital or is it labor? And labor doesn't even really exist. I mean, it sort of exists almost in our imagination now, but the old time where capital sits around a big table and then labor sits on the other side, I mean, it barely even exists in our economy. I mean, I recommend techno-feudalism.
I think that sells labor a little bit. I think there have been some revivals in the labor movement that have been positive, but still, you're right. I mean, the capitalists,
the nature of work.
Those who have a heck of a ton of money get to call the shots, and largely because they get to buy the politicians who write the laws that favor them, that don't maintain that fair regulatory, you know, structure.
For sure.
That makes for a balanced economy. But I think
absolutely,
you and I would both agree.
Yeah,
and I think most people would agree that there has to be an element of socialism even in a free market economy.
Absolutely, and even in both Adam Smith and Marx wrote about that their fear of the capitalist class, the masters of the universe, so to speak, being able to buy the political class. And both of them were concerned. In fact, if I give a presentation on capitalism and socialism, I can give a whole bunch of quotes and ask who it is, and everybody says it's Marx and it's Adam Smith, the patron saint of capitalism. So that is true. I mean, the problem with socialism that even when you have, you know, I'm a Marxist professor and I shouldn't be mocking because it's, you know, Marxism, all life has a material basis, very interesting. But how do you replace the price signal? You know, the seller wants to sell as little as possible for as much as possible. Buyer wants to buy as much as possible for as little as possible. How do you actually replace that? What is your mechanism? And countries that are more trying to go all in on socialism, even North Korea is allowing a lot more markets and becoming, you know, a little bit freer society.
So to be clear, I mean, democratic socialism, as I understand it, and I'm not, I don't, I don't use that term to describe myself, but as I understand it, they agree that to a certain extent, the economy should operate in, you know, in kind of a
capitalistic.
Maybe not, again, I don't use the word capitalism because I don't like the way the money controls everything.
Sure.
But there's an element of freedom in how all that works. But when it comes to the roads, defense, well, we can talk about that.
Education.
Healthcare, education, making pollution control, you know, those things, that's a role for government.
Absolutely.
That's a role for society. Call it socialism, call it democratic socialism. But I think you'd be hard pressed to find anybody out there who believes that roads should be entirely privatized.
Right.
That, and I think we see increasing evidence that privatizing prisons is not a great idea.
Yeah.
Privatizing Medicare, Medicaid, not a great idea.
No. Yeah, you don't want to privatize your fire department because if you get a fire and they show up, then, you know, the bidding begins. But you know, also you know, like I said, I like to explain it as the price signal for wants, but for needs, you need more government. And the polling really shows the Democratic Party voters are for a public option or Medicare for all. They would be for Switzerland's system or Germany's, you know, turning the for-profit insurance companies into nonprofits if they knew about it. That would actually be the best move for the United States and actually the most plausible. But once again, that would require Democratic voters being educated. I stopped on that. the other thing that you have, and so a social market economy or democratic socialism describes nearly every center right or center left party in South America, in Europe. The United States is an unusual country in that we have a lot of what are called negative liberties in our Bill of Rights, but the right to health care, or at least the right to not go broke paying for health care, social and economic rights, for most of the history of the United States, have not been understood by the U.S. public. Now they are. Hence another reason for my divorce, is that a number of people in the United States that belong to the Democratic Party, in particular, they're taking over the party, want a social market economy.
Yeah. Jeffrey, going to give you the last word, although it pains me to do so. folks, Jeffrey Weiss, poli-sci prof at Des Moines Area Community College, my guest today.